What's going on with crypto? And whatever happened to the metaverse? If you're having a hard time keeping up with recent tech fads, you're not alone. But these industries are more than just exciting, if sometimes confusing, trends in the culture and economy. They're actually immense con jobs, distracting us from the very real problems faced by society, according to the author Jonathan Taplin. As you'll hear, Jonathan has had a colorful career that's touched on just about every major cultural trend of the last half century. Now he's trained his lens on four billionaires he thinks are leading the world in the wrong direction: Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Peter Thiel, and Marc Andreessen. Here's Jonathan to share five of his big ideas.
My name is Jonathan Taplin. I started my working life after Princeton in 1969 as the tour manager for Bob Dylan and the band. I produced the concert for Bangladesh for George Harrison and then went to Hollywood, where I produced Martin Scorsese's two early movies, Mean Streets and The Last Waltz. Over the next 40 years, I produced more movies, TV shows, and ran the Media Mergers and Acquisition Group for Merrill Lynch. I also started the first streaming video on demand company and was professor at the University of Southern California and the director of the Annenberg Innovation Lab. That put me in contact with many of the tech leaders of our time. One of them was Bill Gates, who said, "I believe that with great wealth comes great responsibility, a responsibility to give back to society." My new book, The End of Reality, seeks to understand four billionaire technocrats who have a very different view: Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, Mark Zuckerberg, and Marc Andreessen all grew up in the libertarian church of Ayn Rand, who said, "If any civilization is to survive, it is the morality of altruism that men have to reject." If we are to inquire how we got to a place of radical income inequality and the looming potential for a second American Civil War, we need to look no farther than these four technocrats. They created the social media where online mobs create chaos, spark runs on stocks, and drag tens of millions of people down the rabbit holes of conspiracy theories. And for that, we will reward them with billions of dollars. I use the term techno-determinism to describe the path these men have dictated for us. The future they are now selling us, a world run by artificial intelligence, crypto fortunes, living to 200 years old, spending our lives in the metaverse or on Mars, is mostly hype. Because of their wealth and influence, people are buying into this dangerous future. So here are five key insights from my book that I want to share with you. Insight number one: we are in a battle between nature and the machine. I believe that the ultimate goal of these prophets of modernity is to replace nature with technology, to rebuild our society in such a way that a few of them might fulfill the most primal human dream, to become gods. When Ray Kurzweil, who has promoted the idea of the singularity, that moment when artificial intelligence will be able to surpass the brain power of humans and will be able to evolve on its own, when he was asked if he believed in God, he replied, "Not yet." But by 2045, Kurzweil believes we will have entered the age of spiritual machines, where humanity will no longer be the most intelligent or the dominant species on Earth. Right now, thousands of Hollywood actors and writers are striking because the question of whether art will be created by men or machines is up for grabs. One thing I am sure of: an AI chatbot will never create the kind of work of genius that has moved our culture forward over the millennia. The genius of a William Shakespeare or a Bob Dylan relies on originality, but AI operates on the theory that all the possible original ideas in the universe are already contained in the data sets they have ingested from the internet. There is nothing original about its output. The rise of AI as a cultural creator will lead only to mass mediocrity. To understand the political and societal danger lurking in the technocrat scheme, we should recognize that there are two views of America's future on offer. One argues that the collective investment priorities of our society should go towards solving issues like the climate crisis, the mental health emergency, and the lack of affordable housing. But the other view, the one held by the technocrats, is much darker. In this version of the future, artificial intelligence and robots, ruled by the technocrats, will do most of the work, and a large portion of the population will sit at home, living a fantasy life in the metaverse, subsisting on government-paid crypto universal basic income. Anyone who thinks this is some kind of dystopian fantasy should visit Amazon's R&D facility to see the future of whole warehouses operated by 5 humans and 5,000 robots. Insight number 2. Truth matters. As Yale professor Timothy Snyder has said, to abandon facts is to abandon freedom. If nothing is true, then all is spectacle. The biggest wallet pays for the most blinding lights. It is a fact, not an opinion, that Bill Gates did not mastermind a plot to embed microchips into COVID vaccines so that Americans could be tracked and their minds controlled. But polls indicate that more than 20% of all Americans believe the microchip conspiracy theory to be true. Most of that disinformation comes from the social media sites controlled by Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. Elon Musk has built his companies on hype. He estimates it will cost at least $10 trillion to build the first colony on Mars, most of which would come from you, the taxpayer, funneled through NASA to Musk's SpaceX. Musk ignores the fact that we would have to transport all our oxygen to live on Mars. For years, scientists and engineers in the space program have cynically stated, "No Buck Rogers, no bucks." What they meant was that Congress would not appropriate the billions of dollars they wanted unless humans piloted the missions. There may be things to learn from excavating the lifeless surface of Mars, and we're already doing this with the Mars rover program. But sending a manned mission to Mars, as you will see, is a pointless ego trip for a man like Musk and a $10 trillion burden on the American taxpayers when there are so many other pressing issues like renewable energy to address. So why does Elon Musk persist in his notion of putting a million people on Mars in the next decade? The simple answer might be money. Musk's plan for a permanent human settlement on Mars would be the most expensive construction project ever, costing $10 trillion, according to a tweet from Musk. SpaceX has been making nearly a 30% profit margin on its work for NASA over the two-year period from 2018 to 2020, so a Mars mission would create at least a $2 trillion profit for Musk. As Edwin Niedermeyer, author of the definitive book on Tesla, wrote, quote, "His ability to repeatedly sell science fiction fantasies to a credulous public is the foundation for a vast empire and fortune," unquote. Insight number 3. Is this really a culture war? We are told we are fighting a culture war. If there was a culture war in the late 60s, we didn't pay any attention to it. Sure, there were plenty of people saying, "Why don't you get a damn haircut?" or "Turn down that awful music," but we paid them no mind. By contrast, today we are fighting an epic culture war over an algorithm-driven mass culture, the majority of which is both decadent and trivial. In culture, as in politics, there are revolutionary and non-revolutionary periods, and whereas the 1960s were revolutionary in both, our current period is revolutionary in neither. Social media is set up to create outrage, so the algorithms advance the most outrageous posts from either side of this phony war. A recent New York Times headline noted that GOP voters were tiring of the war on wokeism, noting that more than 50% of Republicans support gay marriage. A Republican bill introduced in the Senate last year, quote, calls for hiring more people in the immigration agencies to address spikes in migration and speeding the process for determining an asylum case in immigration court. In other words, there is a middle ground to be found and campaigned on for all on all the cultural issues, but our current media system, dominated by social media, prevents this from happening. Today, the core attributes of our culture are narcissism and escape. In a recent interview about the metaverse, Zuckerberg said, "Part of it is we're building out this avatar system that is going to get increasingly expressive on the one hand, and then if you want, also increasingly realistic." Although I think not everyone wants to be exactly realistic all the time. So you kind of want to offer both expressive and realistic, unquote. His use of the term expressive to mean make me look like Kim Kardashian is quaint. I can see the avatar creators and the plastic surgeons having a symbiotic relationship in the 2030s. Research has already proven that couples who meet in VR are reluctant to meet in person. Clearly, they want to be represented by their expressive avatar rather than their realistic self. History has proven that fantasy is both a brilliant marketing tool and a powerful political tool. The technocrats are employing it in both spheres. In the commercial realm, Musk floats the notion that we will escape our planet's inevitable extinction by building a new civilization on Mars. Mark Zuckerberg promises you can escape the dreary reality of your life by putting on the MetaQuest VR helmet. Andreessen suggests we can fight wars without human casualties with the autonomous weapons he is in developing. And you can get rich just by purchasing the Bored Ape NFTs he is selling. And Thiel markets the greatest fantasy of all, that you can live forever. Insight number 4. Technology can help or hinder our future. I'm not a Luddite. I know that artificial intelligence is better at reading mammograms than humans. 5 years ago, Los Angeles voted to approve a $1.2 billion bond issue to house the homeless. The city has approximately 45,000 homeless citizens. This year, the city controller reported that the city has built 8,091 housing units at an average of $596,000 per unit. 14% of the units are exceeding $700,000 per unit, and one project topped $800,000. This is for low-cost housing. 2 years ago in Alliston, Texas, at the South by Southwest Festival, an American startup named Icon demonstrated the production of a 650-square-foot home that was 3D printed out of concrete in under 24 hours using a mobile printer. The total cost of materials and labor was $4,000. Even if they ended up costing $50,000 per unit, it would be an extraordinary savings from the brain-dead process our city is now using to solve its housing crisis. An additional $1 billion on top of the $1.2 billion bond offering could have created the 40,000 units the city needs. Insight number 5. Are you part of the problem or part of the solution? The solution to this dilemma does not necessarily lie with a new set of government regulations on AI or social networks. Our task is to ask whether we want to continue down this road of techno-determinism and surveillance capitalism, or whether we want to join the resistance movement. I see that movement every day on the picket lines around Hollywood studios. I hear that resistance every day when I listen to the songs of Rhiannon Kiddens or T-Bone Burnett made on real instruments. I see that resistance in the 10,000 signatures on the Authors Guild letter to the AI barons asking to be paid when their AI systems are trained on their books. You can be part of that movement as well. Don't buy crypto. Take a day off each week to observe a digital Sabbath where you and your family put your mobile devices in a lockbox for a day. Don't fall for the metaverse hype. In thinking about our desire for a brilliant future, I was reminded of a quote from Albert Camus' The Rebel, his long meditation about the role of artists and their audience in resistance movements. He wrote, "We are at the extremities now. At the end of this tunnel of darkness, however, there is invariably a light, which we already divine, and for which we have only to fight to ensure its coming. All of us, among the ruins, are preparing a renaissance beyond the limits of nihilism." So that's all. I hope you'll join me in that renaissance. All the best.
Thank you, Jonathan. That was Jonathan Taplin with five big ideas from The End of Reality, How Four Billionaires Are Selling a Fantasy Future of the Metaverse, Mars, and Crypto. Also, check out our book bite for Survival of the Richest, Escape Fantasies of the Tech Billionaires by Douglas Rushkoff. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.